Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron
Mills. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the one and only Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway, where we're exploring the news and very interesting people who will make your day better, or at the very least, way more interesting. Check it out. Here comes the next episode of Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. But first, big thanks to one of our sponsors, Bourbon City Golf Carts. If you're in the Kentucky area, they're right across the river in Charlestown, Indiana. But guess what? They'll ship wherever you are. So it doesn't matter where you're listening to Uncommon Sense. You'll be able to get a hold of yourself very own Bourbon City Golf Carts. Now, what's special about Bourbon City Golf Carts? Well, first of all, their inventory is ridiculous. Their prices are amazing. Because I know Tim Montgomery. I've known him for a long time. This dude is as fair as the day is long, and he's creative. So no matter what your budget, if you're looking for one of these carts to get around the golf course or to get around the neighborhood or other kinds of fun applications that can be brought to bear with this, these things go from just your basics, you know, puttering around to pretty awesome, like totally tricked out wheels and paint jobs and everything. You can totally customize these things. You can get a 2-passenger, 4-passenger, 6-passenger. Heck, you can get one that can haul stuff around the neighborhood. Again, it doesn't matter what your budget is. There's something in there for everybody, used, new, and available to be shipped wherever and whenever you need it. So give them a call, 502-718-0757. That's 502-718-0757. Or go check out bourboncitygolfcarts.com. It's that easy. And now, today's episode of Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. Kaylee Alons, I almost said it wrong, even though I asked to say it right, is joining us now. Kaylee, you're one of 16... I like to call it very courageous athletes. Our mutual friend Riley Gaines involved in this as well, in a lawsuit against the NCAA that spurs out of male or biological male athletes who identify as female competing against female athletes. Welcome to the program, and where and how did you get into all of this?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this has been a very monumental past couple of days with this being filed, and just really proud to stand alongside all these really brave women and stand up for what's right. And I got involved, well, I guess I technically got involved at the 2022 NCAA Championships, where I had to compete and change in the same locker room as a man, but I got involved in speaking out in June of last year. And I got involved through an organization called Concerned Women for America. And they just kind of gave me the platform and encouragement to share a story that I had been wanting to share for a really long time.
Now, Riley, who's been on our program before in the past, too, you know, she when she spoke out, she got an enormous amount of pushback. I mean, we all saw what happened to her at San Francisco State, where she was basically kidnapped and held for ransom by protesters. You see all of this happening when people speak out, and yet you still step forward. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when Riley first spoke out about it, she was really the only one. So I can only imagine how scary it was. And, you know, obviously it was nerve-wracking even when I spoke out a year ago, but I knew I had the support of her. And I had also seen all the support that she had gotten. And I think that's something that I realized after speaking out is that actually most people support you, and it really does drown out all of the hate that you can receive. It's just so small in comparison to the amount of support. And, you know, this is really just a common sense issue. It's not really political or polarized as much as you would think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people mistakenly believe, because the media will frame you this way, they will frame you as anti-trans, yeah. Right? And that's not really... When I've talked to Riley, she's such a sweet person, and she's not anti people being able to live their life the way they see fit. She seems to be just anti biological males changing in the locker room and taking over women's sports because of the way that they tend to dominate those sports. And that's a very different issue.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not a hateful position at all. I mean, we are really just wanting to stand up for women and protect women's sports. I mean, why is there a women's category if anybody can compete in it? And, You know, why are we making, blurring the lines between these categories when it's only, when men are only, or when the harm is only done one way? Right. Like, we can't, we aren't not biologically equipped to go into men's sport and dominate the way that they are in ours. So there needs to be some protection for women's sports in place, and there just isn't.
Yeah, you bring
at
up
the NCAA level.
You bring up a really good point. If a female athlete that a biological female who identified as male wanted to play in the NBA, there's no threat to the other players' records or anything, because frankly, they wouldn't be able to do it, right? Like, it would not happen because of the physical differences. And I think that's the whole reason Title IX was created. You know, I used to do play-by-play for a women's basketball team, and I saw the way that they had to fight to get access to some of the same facilities and the same equipment and the same budget. And I saw all that firsthand, and this just sort of tears it all to pieces. It tears it all to shreds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is not even close, the comparison, you know, between men and women. And, you know, the NCAA wants to reduce women to just a testosterone level, mm-hmm. but we're so much more than that. You know, men are the reason that they are faster and stronger is not just the testosterone level. Like, they are biologically different than we are. Mm-hmm. And we deserve to have two different categories, because it's men and women. And it's just crazy that we come to the place where, like, I have to say that. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, body frame, the way the hips are shaped is evolutionarily designed for the different roles that men and women played evolutionarily mm-hmm. in hunter-gatherer societies and all of that. The quicker reaction time, the longer wingspan, especially in a sport like swimming, which is what you did. There's a just in particular case of Leah Thomas, there's a massive height advantage, which gives you time advantage, I would think. I mean, I'm not a huge swimming expert, but I would think if I'm 6'2" and you're 5'7", there's 5 inches of space you've got to make up automatically. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I mean, height is a big part of it. But, you know, also just bigger heart, bigger lungs.
Yeah.
Obviously testosterone, but like, just even the frame, even if I was the same height as the guy, there were some guys on my team that I was the same height as, but, you know, they were significantly faster than me. And, you know, I was one of the best swimmers on the women's team at NC State, and our men's team is really good, but there's not a single one on that men's team that I would be able to beat. Wow. Like, I wouldn't even be close.
Right.
So, it's not even a comparison, and there's many reasons, is my point, is that it's not just testosterone. It's not just height. Like, there are so many the genetic makeup is just so different. Yeah. And you just can't conflate men and women. Like, you just can't do it.
Let me ask you, like, from this perspective, because I looked at your resume in swimming, and it's freaking amazing. I mean, it's like, I think 30-time All-American or 3-time All-American, five-time All-Conference, 2-time National Champion. I mean, you won everything. So from your perspective as a female athlete who was prestigious, right? Like, I mean, very accomplished. What, and take this in the right spirit, please, because I'm just asking from the curiosity standpoint. From your perspective, going through that with what you won, what did you lose by having to deal with this?
Well, I think that it was very frustrating and insulting to be at that NCAA championship, because, like you said, I was an elite swimmer. You know, I was in the semifinals at Olympic trials. You know, the people at these meets, at the NCAA meets, they are people who are getting medals at the Olympics and at Worlds. I raced next to an Olympic gold medalist in one of my races. Like, this is an elite level competition, and even the elite, obviously, we already know that even the most elite women can't compete with, you know, the majority of men. And it was just insulting for them to treat this competition as if, you know, our competition didn't matter, and that they could just allow a man to come in and, you know, steal national titles and steal spots and race with us. Because, you know, this is one of the most elite competitions in the world, if not America.
And Leah Thomas won that championship. Is that right?
Yeah, he won the 500 free.
Okay, so from your perspective, there was a female athlete in that competition who should have won that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. She was Emma Wyant was the rightful winner of the 500 free.
Yeah, and there was a story the other day. I can't remember where it was out of, but there was a girl who came in 17th out of like the top 16 would be in this particular class. And forgive me for not like being super knowledgeable about sports because I just barely learned how to swim when I was like 15. so you would
beat, okay, you're good.
Trust me, you'd beat the crap out of me on that. But like I she was 17th out of 16, and there was a biological male that had won the top spot, and right. She would have qualified for this All-American status but for that. And then there's the potential of losing scholarships, there's the potential of losing the ability to compete professionally and earn money. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen when somebody gets bumped out like that.
Yeah, I mean, allowing one male to compete in that competition caused so much harm. Mm-hmm. And I think some people will be like, oh, it's just one person. No, the trickle effect of that one person was so much more than you would think. And there's the whole competing in the unfair competition. And yeah, Rika being 17th and missing out on her second swim and that All-American status, and girls who didn't get an A final because he was in there, and points lost. But there was a whole other situation that was happening in the locker room, which we were never forewarned about. We were never forewarned that we would be having to change in the same locker room as a man. And, you know, that's a big part of why I shared my stories, because I was in this position where I was so uncomfortable and stressed out in the locker room. And the way that I handled it was to change in a storage closet instead. So, all in all, the NCAA made a very hostile environment at the NCAAs. And, you know, that's why this moment is so critical, is because this is just continuing to happen. NCAA does not change the rules. They just have continued to allow it to happen.
And you guys are suing to basically say only biological females in female sports. And we also want a little bit for the pain and suffering that this caused, because when you look at these formative moments in our lives, there's things that were frankly taken from you as athletes that you can never get back. That can never be made whole. It can never be restored.
Yes. I mean, the NCAA absolutely harmed women at that meet. But yeah, definitely the most important thing to me is that they changed their rules to prevent this from happening ever again. That's the absolute most important thing, the accountability and responsibility for what they have been standing for.
So from the female perspective, I this is a fascinating conversation for me, like, because I'm married to a woman who's like really strong and very, you know, strong businesswoman. She's also a very girly girl, but she's got her stuff together, you know. And it's really cool to see that we live in a time when women can have full-on and equal access to all of the stuff that they fought for. And from a female perspective, though, what is it like to see what women fought for and then have this happen? Like, because we just went through the Me Too movement, right? Where it was, you know, believe women when they say that they feel, you know, harmed by this type of stuff. And then we turn right around and they tell you guys to go get counseling because you don't understand. I mean, that to me has got to be a whirlwind for you.
Yes. I mean, you know, there is a war on women, and women are taking the brunt of it right now. And it is crazy, because I think before 2022 happened, Title IX and everything that women had fought for felt so far in the past. And it kind of felt like, oh, history, like, so thankful for, you know, these women that fought for what I can have now. And then to be at the NCAA championships and be in that unfair, blatantly unfair competition, and to be in that locker room and situation, and like, be silenced and never have any sort of indication that the NCAA even cared what our feelings was. It really did feel like, you know, whoa, we are regressing in women's rights right now. And it's under this, it's under the deception of this transgender policy.
It's got to feel weird to you. Riley was telling me about, like, the moment that she had to share the trophy and didn't get to take it home with Leah Thomas. And how she knew when she was talking, and she told the story to Joe Rogan the other day too. She was talking to the official from the NCAA, and she could tell that he knew that he was in the wrong, or that they were in the wrong,
yeah,
but could do nothing about it. It's got to feel weird to you as an athlete, a super athlete. I mean, you look again at your resume. You're a super athlete, okay? You're not just somebody who played sports in high school and college. You are a super athlete. It's got to feel weird to you to look around the room and tell that everyone in the room knows that you're right, but that you have to speak mm-hmm. out and be by yourself when you do it. And it's like these fake smiles, like they know they're wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely very hard. And, you know, I think that there's just a lot of fear because of this cultural kind of narrative and movement that's going. There's just a lot of fear of being called a bigot or being called transphobic. But, you know, the truth is that, you know, women are being harmed by these policies. And I think once you start to look at it as it's not as, you know, women are being forced to compete with men, and you just start looking at just the truth of the matter, I think it just becomes so much easier to speak out about it, because you're like, I know I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. History will be on your side.
Yeah.
Do you feel a tide turning on this issue, though?
Oh, absolutely. Just the fact that we were able to get this lawsuit together, and that so many women signed on, and just the amount of support that I personally received. There's been colleges speaking out about this, schools, even at the high school level, you know, the presidents are like talking about this issue. That even is just a huge step yeah. in the right direction. And then I think North Carolina a few months ago, you know, they had a bill where they said that, you know, women or men can't be in women's sports. So it's like at the state level, you know, things are starting to change too. So absolutely, I do believe a tide is turning. And right now, I think the most important for me is that the NCAA stands up and takes responsibility for what they've done, and just like takes responsibility and just changes their policies.
Right.
It's Title IX has it all laid out for them. I think Riley right. said this in one of her interviews, like Title IX has laid the groundwork. Like they just have to abide by it.
Right. Well, now they're trying to rewrite Title IX because they know they can't win that argument. And I was going to ask, what do you hope comes of it? But you kind of just answered that question there.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of in terms of wrapping up, we'll ask this question. If somebody were to say to you, Kaylee Allons, you're transphobic, what is your answer to that?
I mean, I've definitely gotten this. And I would just say, like, there's no hate in my heart for anybody. Mm-hmm. I am simply just asking for equality for women.
Right.
And women, and that women are just listened to, and that our feelings matter. And that I'm just simply asking for biological males to not compete in women's sports
right.
and be on their teams. That yeah. that to me is not hateful position at all to have. And in fact, for not in, if I don't stand up, I just know that more and more women will go through that situation that I faced, where I'm so uncomfortable and so stressed. And I just don't want that to happen again. And yeah. I truly believe there's a place for everyone in sports. And I just believe that the women's category should be for women only.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a great answer, and I agree with it. I have no ill will towards people. I'm a libertarian. I want people to live their lives the way that they see fit. But I also, you know, rights come with responsibilities, and having the same rights
yeah.
as everyone else means you have the same responsibilities as everyone else. And that means my rights end at the end of your nose, and your rights end at the end of mine, right? And so having rights doesn't mean you have the right to trample over other people. And the bottom line is, we've just discussed this, there are biological, irreconcilable biological differences between males and females, and that has
yeah.
to be recognized in this whole world. So, well, gosh, Kaylee, you're brave. Thank you so much for taking time out of, I know, crazy schedule. You guys are all in demand in this. I hope, and obviously the country is going to be watching this lawsuit, and I hope it comes out positive for you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for listening to another episode of Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. Big thanks to our executive producer. There's two of them, myself and my good friend Cameron Mills, who is also sometimes a co-host on the show. But he's a super busy dude. Anyway, he remains the executive producer of this program. Big thanks to DX Audio, Dynamics Audio, and Lexington, Kentucky for all their help with building out the production elements of the program. And most importantly, a big thanks to you for listening to the program. In just a second, I'll tell you where you can hear the episodes and share it with your friends. But first, a big thanks again to our sponsor, Bourbon City Golf Carts. Make sure you check out their website, bourboncitygolfcarts.com. All over no matter what it is that you need, they can ship it to you when it comes to golf carts. You know, it's funny. I remember when my buddy Tim Montgomery first started talking about this. It's become a craze for people to drive golf carts around their neighborhood, right? Why get in the car if you got to go to the neighbor's house or down to the picnic or whatever? Sometimes it's fun to just let the kids rove around. And you can load these puppies up into your RV or on your RV trailer and take them golfing anywhere in the country. These things come from very basic all the way to tricked out wheels and paint jobs. You can customize them. You can buy used. You can buy new. And if you're thinking it's too expensive, don't, because it's not. It doesn't really matter what your budget is. Tim Montgomery can find one that's just right for you. As a matter of fact, right now he's got in stock like over 90 brand new ones and almost 10 used ones. And that number always changes, so there's always plenty of brand new ones and plenty of used ones, and he can get you what you want if he doesn't have it in stock right away. And the price range, again, whatever your budget is, he can make it work for you. Check him out at bourboncitygolfcarts.com, 502-718-0757. Tell him you heard it on Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. Again, bourboncitygolfcarts.com. Now, where can you hear the podcast? Everywhere podcasts are found. Just send it out. Download it on Apple Podcasts or wherever it works for you. And let your friends know. Shoot it over to your friends. It's on iHeartRadio as well, so you can just send copies of the episodes to your friends. Share the word. Grow the audience. We appreciate every single one of you. Over 100,000 downloads strong and continuing to grow. Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. Go!